Although many ministries are involved with this program, its nerve center is lodged in the Ministry of Education here in Saigon. There are several objectives to this effort. One is to provide an impact program in rural areas as part of the overall counterinsurgency plan. Another is to raise the general literacy of the Vietnamese. And still another targets on developing the trained manpower required for social and economic progress. All of the Agency for International Development, AID's, assistance in education is channeled through the Vietnamese with their complete cooperation, advice, and consent. American professionals, such as Dr. Eleanor Green, work closely with their Vietnamese counterparts. For example, the principal of Long An Normal School, talking through an interpreter about program planning and project implementation. The Vietnamese, aspiring to freedom, place strong emphasis on education for their children as a means to a better life. Back in 1954, this seemed like a highly improbable goal for most parents. Only 16% of those children whose ages made them eligible for elementary school were actually in school. Just 400,865 youngsters. About 2.5 million children like these were not enrolled. By 1970, the picture had turned around completely. 85% of eligible youths were enrolled in elementary schools, about 2.5 million of the total. The 15% left out will not be ignored. The government of Vietnam, GVN, plans to bring them into the classroom as the program continues. Hamlet schools for elementary students are community-centered. They are physically located where they are most easily reached by the attending students. In 1954, the total classrooms for such children were 8,000 in number. Today, 1970, there are 45,000. The construction of 18,000 of these was assisted by AID, called USAID in Vietnam. Such assistance included building materials, cement, roofing, and rebars particularly. Architectural designs, engineering, and construction advice when asked for, and a great deal of encouragement. The important point to be emphasized here is that this is a Vietnamese show. The giant strides and major accomplishments must be credited to the Vietnamese people and their government. For they set as their end goal education for all, a fitting wind-up to an uphill struggle for a wider sharing of the knowledge so long denied them. A horrible, persistent, and debilitating war still continuing did not and does not deter them from this challenge. It is not the purpose of this presentation to spell out the number of schools rocketed out of existence, the number of teachers abducted, the number of principals slain, the number of students terrified. But it is important to realize that against this background of violence, the forward progress of education in South Vietnam continues and accelerates. Elementary school in Vietnam spans the equivalent of the first 5 grades of American schools. The subjects taught are similar to those taught stateside. The 3 R's, spelling, geography, science, physical education, and so on. In 1954, there were 9,000 teachers in the school system. Today, there are 50,000 of them, and programs to improve the quality of teaching are demanding and expanding. How teachers are trained to fill the vast void will be dealt with later. Suffice to say at this point that between 1963 and 1970, the U.S. helped to develop 20,000 teachers and assisted in setting up the means to continue such training on an ever-widening scale. The new Constitution of 1967 mandated universal free compulsory elementary education, and responsibility was placed upon elementary schools to give basic citizenship training for a democratic society. Recreation, bodybuilding, team play, and extracurricular activities stress the importance of physical as well as mental growth. Young ladies, particularly, are provided opportunities to enjoy a wide range of special play interests. Children of all years are accommodated in playground activities, and in many instances, suitable equipment is provided for full exercise and enjoyment. Good health as a means to active minds requires adequate foods. Milk feeding programs ensure proper diet. Sanitary practices start with the young. The washing and rinsing of milk cups at school must surely bring these lessons to the home and to daily living. The pinky water contains permanganate, believed by many to be a suitable disinfectant for utensils and foods washed in water. Not every school is uniform in appearance or complexity. Urban schools in Saigon, for example, might very well be elaborate and fairly well equipped. The children showing many evidences of being properly looked after. They reflect financially secure families and comfortable home circumstances. Usually, these are paying students in private schools. But the other extreme, the children of displaced families here at Petrus Key, a refugee colony in the Saigon area. This extreme emphasizes the thesis that education will not be denied anyone. Classes continue despite makeshift facilities, under the open sky, serving as a gathering place for learning. Eventually, all children will be well housed in proper classrooms. For the construction of more and more schools goes on and on. U.S. advisors such as Dr. Hayes, chief of the education branch in the Delta, offer their expertise in this effort. U.S. inputs move into and out of warehouses such as this one in Kanto to supplement advice with good, solid building materials. Ethnic minorities are not overlooked in the spread of education. The Montagnards, a French name for the hill tribes, pose special problems as their languages, and there are several, are different than Vietnamese. This means they need separately conceived and produced materials such as books or radio programs. It means special training for their teachers. It means recognition of tribal differences and study for the most suitable means to meld these varied entities into a unified complex. The red soil can almost always be associated with the highlands where the Montagnards dwell. The same goals apply to the mountain tribes as apply to the Vietnamese. Universal enrollment, qualitative education, good citizenship, and higher living standards for their youth. All students apply themselves diligently to their studies. They are good students. Sometimes classrooms are overcrowded, often as many as 75 to a class. But this doesn't appear to slow down the learning processes as much as Westerners might imagine. However, as a school program expands, facilities will be more and more available for greater individual comfort and attention. The rebuilding and modernization of Vietnam is going to rest on these young folk. A heavy burden for this generation. Public school expansion is edging out many private schools, which formerly were an only means for many to receive an education. Private schools, such as Hoang Quang Ninh School in Saigon, had previously enrolled about one-third of all the elementary students in Vietnam. Private schools can very well be absorbed by public school encroachment, but parochial interests, such as schools oriented toward the Chinese communities, will continue to demand special courses for its constituencies. The 1-to-3 ratio enjoyed by public elementary schools over private schools is reversed in the secondary school system, where two-thirds of the students pay for their education. These youngsters at a Kanto private elementary school cannot be distinguished from their counterparts in today's public schools. The need for teachers has been a stumbling block toward progress in education for a long period for two reasons. First, there were nowhere near enough to go round. And secondly, teachers were traditionally males, and males were needed to serve in the war effort. Therefore, females had to fill the bill, and thousands of them had to be taught to teach. Pre-service and in-service programs had to be initiated, and normal schools such as this one in Saigon had to be built and staffed to carry out the pre-service training functions. A contract team from Southern Illinois University directed its attention to establishing these basics. Quinon is a location of another normal school. There are several others. Graduates between 1969 and 70 reached the 2000 mark. By 72 to 73, it is anticipated that the number of graduates will jump to 3,000. The normal school at Vinh Long will help to do this. The Southern Illinois University contract expects to raise the graduate potential to 4,000 per year in later periods. Long An Normal School will contribute its share to maturing these plans. The Highlands again are well represented in the educational picture. This normal school at Bamatuit prepares teachers to teach Montagnards. This classroom building in the Bonmatuit Normal School is an attractive indication that ethnic minorities hold full membership in a new Vietnamese nationhood. With the construction of new dormitories, teachers can be recruited from mountain fastnesses, and the number of potential graduates can thus expand. Dr. Earl Caspers is an SIU contract advisor who is housed on campus, a valuable arrangement for effective support to the Highland community. Admissions examinations reflect high-intensity concentration the world round. The youth of Ban Matuit, as those in all Vietnamese normal schools, are no exceptions. The principal of Long An Normal School, Mr. Dinh Van Do, and one of his officers is representative of the highly motivated, extremely responsible, and effectively capable corps who monitor the educational growth of the Vietnamese populace. Matriculation at the Vinh Long Normal School promises a future of dedicated service to the rebuilding of a war-torn nation and to developing its institutions for continued growth. As women matriculate, it is with the knowledge that they are entering a new domain for women, a new profession, a new challenge, a new opportunity for Asiatics of their gender. The quality of elementary education for all children became of real concern to the Ministry of Education, and the training programs for teachers, both pre-service and in-service, have been under constant revision to better prepare teachers for community school development. This is a quote from a ministry statement. An in-service training center responds to the ministry's concern with courses to upgrade teachers in their conduct of regular curricula, and in the introduction of new courses, such as those in vocational education, a class in pattern making for women teachers, or a class in shop work for male educators. The effort to widen the range of teachers' capabilities is needed as much as the effort to sharpen up the way they conduct their regular classes. SIU representative Robert Lewis has much to discuss with his counterparts, the SCAG education area specialist, Nguyen Van Co, and supporting officers. SCAG means the Saigon Civil Assistance Group. In this case, the education division is involved. There has been a significant growth in enrollments in secondary schools in Vietnam. Eligible school agers are in the 12 to 18 year bracket. During 1954, 51,465 were enrolled. Today, there are 623,000. A great leap forward? Certainly. Yet only 24% of the eligibles are at their school desks. Most of these, however, plan to go on to higher education institutions. There were about 133 secondary schools in 55, and there are over 600 today. An Ohio University contract team is developing a comprehensive school concept through demonstration schools in the public universities. 12 additional pilot schools are under development. The Faculty of Pedagogy at the University of Hue is one of three such institutions in country. Combined, all three graduate 1,100 secondary teachers per year. In 1954, only 50 graduated. Also in 1954, there were only 2,000 secondary school teachers. Today, there are 19,000. Duc Nhi Cap holds special notices for the senior high school teachers. Classrooms, teachers, how about books? Since 1963, 18 million elementary textbooks were printed and distributed. They included 35 titles for the five elementary grades. USAID helped significantly in this venture. The printing came from many sources, and much was funded through U.S. participation. An educational materials production center will eventually conceive, produce, and print required materials for all levels of education. A writing staff has already helped in the conception of the elementary school books. They've also worked on secondary textbooks, special books for the Montagnards, and textbooks for teachers. USAID advisors helped establish the complex production plant and assisted in every phase of the center's output. This activity is still ongoing. The progression of functions to be performed requires many departments and skills. Artists are needed to bring out ideas in vividly communicable form. Pictures and texts must be stripped into formats ready for photocopy. Plate making for offset printing involves special equipment which produces the plates for the high-speed offset rollers. Printing in several colors requires good skill and management practice, meaning training programs for the technicians involved. A bindery, using a stitching process, puts all the pages together in final book form. Examples of the work produced at this center were included in a book exhibit held in Saigon during 1969. Education by way of mass media proves very effective. The Educational Materials Production Center utilizes radio programs for classroom reception most effectively. So far, 300 programs have been developed for elementary schools, with 150 new ones in prospect for this year. Broadcasting occurs twice daily, and the subjects include civics, mathematics, reading, music, literature, geography, physical education, and so on. Some programs are designed for teachers. In the classroom, interest and attention are very keen, and the learning processes make lessons more delightful and more memorable. Many volunteer agencies contribute supplies to the educational effort in Vietnam. CARE distributed 100,000 school kits for pupils last year. UNICEF placed 750 special kits into community schools and also distributed Vietnamese keyboard typewriters through the Ministry of Education. UNICEF also supplied several school buses. Free world countries such as Canada, Italy, Australia, Taiwan contributed books, buildings, supplies, advisory assistance, and much encouragement. Not all assistance comes from voluntary agencies or free world nations. There are numerous instances where onlookers become intrigued with the whole program, spot a few shortcomings, and pitch in to erase them. For example, it was easy to see that these children needed chairs and desks for a proper classroom. The educational branch of SCAG and a few members of the U.S. Air Force took it upon themselves to produce the needful, an expression often used in Asia. Furniture was built in an Air Force carpentry shop. 220 desks and benches were constructed to furnish five classrooms at the Bintoy School. The forward thrust of any program where youngsters are involved becomes a concern of the full community. One of the most pressing needs for a country striving to reach the status of a modern society is for a manpower pool which can supply a wide range of skills for nation building. Technical schools such as the Nguyen Truong School in Saigon were developed to meet this requirement. There are five such schools. The Cao Thang Technical School is also centered in Saigon. In addition to technical schools, there are four new polytechnical schools, such as this one in Da Nang, and 12 junior technical schools. Also, a teacher training school was created to ensure continuous staffing. The network offers classes to over 15,000 students, women included. An additional 4,000 take short-term apprenticeship courses, swelling the numbers further, a tremendous growth since 55, when total students in this field were only 700. Subjects range from home economics and business administration to such courses as auto diesel mechanics, industrial electricity, machine shop, woodworking, the metal trades, and so on. These are not snap courses. They involve intensive classroom work and long hours of shop work to acquire skills in every phase of the operations required for each trade. In Futuh, for example, the field of metallurgy calls for a knowledge of forging, the use of drill presses, the handling of pneumatic hammers, and so on. Participants sent to the U.S. for training and vocational education have returned and are teaching in the polytechnical schools. Vietnam is experiencing phenomenal agricultural growth through the current Green Revolution. The need for a strengthened system of agricultural education, which would provide a continuing source of technicians, agents, and skilled workers for the farm and for agricultural business, has led to the generation of still another network. New agricultural schools such as this one in Phan Rang houses laboratories and farm shops. The agricultural education complex includes 10 agricultural high schools serving 4,081 students. Five more are planned for 1970, bringing enrollment to a total of 5,560. Also included is a College of Agriculture now preparing 3,000 students for future food production. There were none prior to 1954. These are student projects at a Voag school in Binh Duong. A brood of her ducks shown here at Ninh Thuan is preparatory work for a major protein production effort. The project looks more impressive when the ducks can take to water. Duck meat and eggs are popular foods. Duck feathers are an exportable item. Nha Trang is the home of a commercial pig farm studied by Voag classes as a major source of proteins. At a Huy Ag school, a U.S. agricultural education advisor inspects a fish breeding tank along with faculty members of the school. An ag education advisor is anxious for the completion of the new ag school at Phan Rang. There is a special need for trained agriculturists to participate in the accelerated rice production program, wherein new strains of rice, IR8 and IR5, called miracle rice, are already substantially increasing yields in the Delta paddy fields. Binh Tui welcomed a new ag school constructed with the assistance of USAID advisors. And at Hue, new science classrooms and laboratories are being included in the construction of a Voag school. Farm mechanization will greatly assist higher yields and crop production of all kinds. This Kubota tractor is being demonstrated to agricultural students at the Binh Duong Agricultural School. Individual projects for students, such as this vegetable crop at the Bao Lac Voag School, makes learning by doing lessons take firm hold. Montagnard girls learn to sew at an ethnic minority ag training center in Da Nang, and so on. Vietnam may very well prove to be a nation that must depend on agriculture as its major earning potential. Fitting students into the roles of agriculturists and farm families is an assignment of highest priority considerations. Literacy classes for those not enrolled in the school system are encouraged by the government, often through village development teams, by international voluntary service workers, and occasionally by our own armed forces in Vietnam. Those taking advantage of adult literacy training number 40,255. English language classes entice over 500,000 students of all ages and all walks of life. Preparation for professional futures has been encouraged and assisted by USAID. A National Institute for Administration, a National Technical Center for Engineering, and a College of Medicine are examples. Also, courses at universities, in-service programs, overseas training, and so on contribute to the sources of learning hitherto unknown in this country. The Faculty of Medicine at the University of Hue, well established, is being expanded with a special wing contributed by the Canadian government. This wing will house a large auditorium. There are presently five universities in South Vietnam. Prior to partition, there was only one in North and South Vietnam, and that was in Hanoi. Three of the present universities are public, two private. At the University of Hue, science professors hold frequent seminars. The other universities are at Canto, Dalat, and Saigon. This demonstration school at the Faculty of Pedagogy of the University of Hue gives secondary school teaching prospects opportunity to practice their skills as they learn them. Faculties include other disciplines such as letters, law, pharmacy, dentistry, architecture, and business administration. Already shown were faculties of medicine, pedagogy, and science. This entranceway leads into the Faculty of Letters at the University of Hue. Before 1954, Only 362 students were enrolled in a university, the one in Hanoi. Today, 40,000 are on the rolls. University of Hue co-eds would be most welcome on any campus, especially by their male counterparts. The students are representative of the best creative minds in Vietnam. They study diligently, knowing the national needs for trained leadership they will soon be asked to fill. This secretary is employed by an Ohio University contract group, assisting the development of the Faculty of Pedagogy at Hue. The list of problems spelled out on the blackboard show that there are many peripheral tasks to the main job of upgrading education. The administration building at the University of Saigon shows much effort and resources went into the creation of a university complex. At the University of Kanto, emphasis targets on halls of learning, although consideration for the housing of students at these dorms could not be neglected. Van Han University in Saigon is a Buddhist hall of learning where courses are directed to social work, Buddhist studies, and languages. At professional seminars within the universities, it must be remembered that many of the staff were trained overseas. 822 Vietnamese completed training by July of 1969. Currently, 195 project-related trainees are studying abroad. 237 trainees are encouraged in general scholarship study programs, all in the USA. The development of library systems is very important to a knowledge-hungry nation. The GVN, assisted by USAID, is developing prototype libraries in the school systems and in public library centers. Librarians had to be trained in the special techniques of good library administration and operations. Modern cataloging systems had to be introduced for maximum efficiency. A national library under construction is scheduled for completion in early 71. Four stories of reading rooms and offices will be capped by a stack tower 12 additional stories high. The unit will provide a book capacity of 1 million volumes, an impressive service to the commonweal. For the public has to be served. Good books, qualified teachers, efficient classrooms. Much had to be done in the last 15 years. The GVN, encouraged and assisted by USAID, despite the devastating encroachment of a horrible war, have accomplished so much more in the field of education than could reasonably have been expected, that they are determined to carry the program forward long after U.S. assistance has been concluded. Recently, the Educational Division of the Saigon Civil Assistance Group, SCAG, held a citywide contest in the public schools. The students were asked to write a pledge which would be adopted as official by the school system. The students here attend a ceremony where the winner is to be announced. First prize, presented by the mayor of Saigon, goes to Young Mi Lu for a pledge that will be recited daily by all the children in Saigon schools. Tiny Mi Lu wrote, "As a young member of my country, I pledge to study and work, help my countrymen with all my heart, follow the example of our heroes, and exalt the name of the descendants of Lakong." Lakong lived 4,000 years ago. He was the founder and ruler of the first dynasty of Vietnam. We of the Western world may not accept this historically. For Lakong was a dragon. He married Ao Co, a sprite. All Vietnamese have descended from this marriage. Yes, we hesitate to accept this as truth. But to Mi Lu and our fellow students in Saigon, there is no question about the authenticity of their heritage. At least they are prepared to live with it, honor it, and take pride in it. They are truly a remarkable people. Some of the principal organizers and monitors of the educational thrust are Mr. Harold Weiner, director of USAID's education program in Vietnam during the period these slides were photographed, watching Dr. Nguyen Van Thieu, GVN's Minister of Education at that time, cutting a ribbon at the opening ceremonies of the Instructional Materials Production Center. The third member of the Troika is another Ministry of Education official. At present, the closing months of fiscal year 1970, the director of USAID's education program is Dr. T.C. Clark, toweringly centered here. Dr. Vien, holder of two titles, Vice Premier of Vietnam, and also its current Minister of Education, and Dr. David Jones, Chief Backstopping Officer for the program, out of the Bureau for Vietnam, AID, Washington, are the flankers. This affable group is composed of a mix of USAID officials in the education program and their Vietnamese counterparts. Working relationships between the two nationalities have been excellent. One of the contract groups, Wisconsin State University, working in the field of higher education, is directed by the university's president, Dr. Lee Dreyfus, here meeting with rectors of the five universities now in South Vietnam. Interest and high regard for education has exploded into a passion for it. As new doors open, new possibilities unfold, new dreams become realities. A conversation between Dr. Dreyfus and President Chu might be regarded as symbolic, not only of the importance of education as a pathway to national development,